SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It is Game Time Decisions live on Sports Grid on this Tuesday night. Kevin Walsh with you for the next 2 hours, which will see the beginning of the NCAA tournament. March Madness will be in, well, not full effect, right? I don't want to lie to the people, but we have St. Francis of PA out of the Northeast Conference going up against Alabama State in the SWAC, the 16-16 matchup. The winner will be given the opportunity to lose to Auburn in the 1-16. I don't think that's disrespectful. Does anybody feel like that's disrespectful? I don't feel disrespectful. It feels true. It is how we begin the play-in round, always with a little 16-16 battle. The SWAC's Alabama State, a 3.5-point favorite, up to 4 in some spots. We are seeing a total check-in now at 136.5. 137.5 still appears to be out there, but under money has continuously pushed this total down, which will begin tonight's tournament. That game, for me, it will be a player prop. On the St. Francis of PA side, give me DeMar Kelly for 11-plus points. That's minus 115 on DraftKings. Kelly had hit this in 9 consecutive and 10 of 11 before missing in 2 straight, including an awful shooting performance against Central Connecticut in the NEC Championship game. Big-time bounce-back spot here on the biggest stage. Give me the 11-plus points at minus 115. I know some of you are saying, whoa, can't get involved with the props. Well, listen, let's take a deep breath. Maybe we'll find some juice live. We will be on air for a lot of that basketball game, but we'll get you the side for the big one tonight, which is North Carolina and San Diego State. Of course, this game is going to, for a lot of people, if it goes San Diego State's direction, prove that in no world, North Carolina belong in the bracket. Fighting for the little guy is what we're seeing for a lot of people. Those same people said do not use the SMU performance against Penn State or the Indiana performance against Notre Dame in the college football playoff to suggest Alabama belonged in that field of 12. So which is it? It seems as if a lot of college fans, football or basketball, have a big problem with the Blue Bloods. Again, the pillars of the sport. I don't get it. It's a lot of hate, and it doesn't really add up, if we're being honest. It just doesn't. But North Carolina has the chance to prove all the doubters wrong. And I've been pretty kind to North Carolina since they've been allowed in this field. A lot of people feel as if, this was Indiana's spot. The odds makers believed this was Indiana's spot. Well, Indiana would be potentially a dog in this game if they were to match up with San Diego State. North Carolina is a top 35 team on KenPom, comfortably higher than that of the Aztecs. And yet, San Diego State is the side for me in this one. Now, I played this last night at +5.5. I want to just make this clear. Yes, I would still bet it at 4.5. But, of course, you always want to get the best of the number. For me, that is truer with nothing more than spreads, specifically, right? If you were kind of rocking and rolling for a lot of the bowl games with me, you know, I tweeted those out as soon as I bet them. I will do the same for any March Madness sides. So I know tweet notifications, maybe you're, Shams, Rappaport, but if you want to get involved with any of the sides that I'm going to be on, I'll tweet them all out. You can get them that second. because the line has moved, was moving quite a lot from San Diego State 5.5, North Carolina 5.5, and then down to 4.5. It has settled at 4.5. I'm wondering if within the next 3 hours will we see any movement. And if we do, I would expect that movement. You would think that movement would go back up. It looks as if there is at least 1.5 out there in the market. I think this number has gone too far. I think one of the driving forces of this number is not just people being fans of North Carolina, which certainly could be a factor. It is, I think all the narratives are favoring North Carolina. Oh, they didn't belong in. Well, that means they're going to go on a deep run. These teams always find a way to shut everyone up. San Diego State out of the Mountain West. Everybody's favorite fade come tournament time. A conference that, as a whole, typically does not do well when you put them in the field of 68. But for me, this is just not the perfect matchup for North Carolina. They are playing a slow, grinding defense. And that has not been kind to UNC. Of course, you can bring up Duke, who is one of the very best defenses in college basketball and a very slow team. That, though, perhaps would be a tick unfair of a comparison. You might feel as if it is a tier above type of defense when you talk about Duke and San Diego State. Well, San Diego State grades out better defensively than Clemson. And we saw Clemson dominate UNC, specifically really bottle up the North Carolina offense. Held that team to 4 of 19 shooting from beyond the arc. And San Diego State is going to drive UNC off of the three-point line, get him into the perimeter, and a hope that their size then can make life difficult on the Tar Heels. And there's also a bit of spread math in play for me here. We saw North Carolina in Charlotte, so closer to home court than I would say neutral or pure neutral, against Wake Forest, right? You just imagine the UNC faithful would have been out in abundance for that game. I understand Wake Forest is in North Carolina, but nevertheless, UNC were 5.5-point favorites in that game. Very much so a situation where San Diego State and Wake Forest should not be booked the same. And I don't think, and that's why I said I would still play the 4.5, I don't think they should be booked within a point of one another. So I am going to take the points tonight with San Diego State. I will play a prop on the UNC side, which is Seth Trimble for 10-plus points. Trimble was fantastic in the second half against Duke, finishing that game with 14 points, got to the line 9 times. They will need his driving ability in this one. Trimble had hit this in 11 of his last 15 games, but perhaps more important, he hit this in 11 of the first 12 games to start the season. This is somebody they want to be able to rely on. They were able to do that in their most recent game. I know that some of the minutes were upticked due to Elliott Cadeau foul trouble, but they then ended up playing Trimble, Davis, and Cadeau because that's how good Trimble was in the game. It was Ian Jackson who really paid the price. I think you'll see enough of Seth Trimble in this one to get 10-plus points on the board. We continue to talk March Madness. It's game time decisions on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions is live on this Tuesday as we are about to, in 25 or so minutes, have our first tournament game, which is going to be incredibly exciting, even if it is a 16-16 Alabama State and St. Francis of PA. The nice thing is, despite games being played tonight and tomorrow, we don't have to fill those brackets out until Thursday. I figured I would give the people, myself, and our upcoming guests we'll talk to tonight some questions. a question per region. You can play along. You can shout at the television and let me know what you think. We begin in the East. And in the East region, it is, of course, the number one seed, a minus 140 favorite to win this region. Plus 440 Alabama, 8-1 Arizona. Everyone is 10-1 or longer. My honest question to you is, in order to cash that minus 140 number, does Duke even need Cooper Flagg? When you take a look at this region, when you take a look at the way the bracket landed here for the Blue Devils, I know the optimism is there that Cooper Flagg could very well play in game number one against a 16 seed. But if I told you the earliest he could play is the Final Four, do you think he would play a tournament game? Do you think they need him against Mississippi State or Baylor in the 8-9? If you're putting an Akron or Liberty on a big run to an Elite Eight, do you think Duke would need Cooper Flagg there? You love Arizona? Do you love Oregon enough to knock out the Blue Devils? I don't think so. The earliest it would feel as if this team would need Cooper Flagg, the way it broke, would be an Elite Eight game against either Alabama, be honest with you, St. Mary's. St. Mary's type of defense that could give the Blue Devils some trouble, quite frankly, even if Cooper Flagg is on the court. The thing is, St. Mary's is also going to be in a dogfight against Vanderbilt in the 7-10. It is incredible how much panic there was for a brief moment around the Cooper Flagg injury. And now I look at the East region, maybe you out there disagree, but I'm not sure they even need him to get out. We go to the West. Dominated, odds-wise, of course, by everybody's new favorite team, Florida. I don't mean to sound so negative, but man, these numbers are outrageous. Minus 135 to win this region. St. John's and Texas Tech, plus 550, 10-1 on the Terps. My question to the people, who's the best coach in the West region? Go ahead, play along at home. Are you taking Golden? Year number three at Florida, year number six at this level? Came over from the Dons? Is this guy the best coach in college basketball? Is that where we are? The potential meeting in round number two is against the reigning defending, I'm the best coach in the history of the sport, Dan Hurley. Back-to-back natties. Crack at the Laker job. I was told College Hoops ran through stores. Some of you were like, where's that? Exactly, that was nonsense. But nevertheless, it's not just a Golden Hurley battle. Bill Self, Rick Pitino, John Calipari, if you want to be kind. I think right now, if you made me rank them, I'm still going to give Hurley the grace, despite the fact I've been hard on him this season, to put him at number one. But man, it is something to think about when the line will likely be near double digits if we get Florida versus UConn. How that game plays out. Because I'll tell you right now, if Hurley is able to get through Florida, then this question would receive, I think, a unanimous answer from many. South, that's Auburn at the top. Tigers not playing great basketball. We know that. They've lost three of their last four. But I don't think many have found themselves incredibly impressed with this region. My question is, which double-digit seed makes the deepest run? Bryant the 15? Probably a little too rich. UC San Diego? Short number against Michigan. Anybody biting on Lipscomb against the banged-up Iowa State? No Keyshawn Gilbert? Anyone like Yale to do it again last year? Knocked out Auburn in round number one. Still caused me some pain. Still makes me flinch when I think about it. Had a great Tiger number. All for naught. I like this New Mexico team. I'm buying in on New Mexico. I know. They say, be weary. Mountain West, I know. The evidence is there. All I'm saying, San Diego State was in the national championship game a couple of years ago. I don't think New Mexico's going that far. Overall, the conference could have another poor showing. Doesn't mean New Mexico. Doesn't mean the Lobos don't pack the bite to potentially knock off Shaka Smart and Tommy Izzo's boys in a potential 10-2 matchup in the round of 32. Lastly, and maybe the most important question, Houston or Gonzaga, when it comes to the Midwest region, Houston or Gonzaga? You know that's the question you're trying to figure out. Do you trust the Cougars to get through a criminally seeded Gonzaga team? And again, the ones who are being victimized, not Gonzaga, but Houston, having to play this team in round of 32 potentially. How many of you are finishing this bracket out with Tennessee, Kentucky, UCLA, Houston, or Gonzaga? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. It is a Tuesday night. Kevin Walsh with you on Game Time Decisions. It is a busy Tuesday, so let's take a look at our options over on Sports Million Pick'em.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. It's time to jump into some Sports Millions Pick'ems over here on the grid. Now, Tom, I went 1-1 yesterday. Kobe White really stood up for us for the Chicago Bulls, going higher than his point total. But Scotty Barnes really let me down again for the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors fighting for so much. I did think he would step up with a lot of players off the court, but he just didn't come out strong enough in yesterday's matchups with the Knicks. Just pouring it on. So today we're going to turn back to college basketball. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so yesterday was a 2-0 win for me in the NBA. Luke Kennard stayed lower than 3.5 rebounds. We saw some great scoring from Zach LaVine. A little bit worrisome there. He did go back to the locker room, but he came back out. Plenty of points from him. So 2-0 over there. Today, let's turn to college basketball. As you said, Alabama State versus St. Francis, the first four. For Alabama State, let's go to CJ Hines, higher than 13.5 points. He is their leading scorer. I love the fact that he's gone over not just three straight games. These were three straight tournament games, right? When it matters the most, he's their leading scorer. The ball is in his hands. They are trusting him. St. Francis, they are 293 in KenPom defense. This is absolutely not good. I'm not expecting a ton of points from this game overall. Both teams play relatively slow, but the ball will be in CJ Hines' hands when it matters most for Alabama State. On the other side, for St. Francis, let's turn to Damar Kelly, lower than 10.5 points. We combine these, we get a 3x multiplier. He's had some games where he's gone over this number. He's had some games where he's gone lower than this number. The fouls continue to be an issue for Kelly. 3, 4, 5 fouls in some of these games. We're seeing 10, 12, 13 field goal attempts from other times. We're seeing only a 4 or 6 because the fouls not being as aggressive out there. So I expect the game to stay lower scoring overall. Hines will be the main guy for Alabama State just because of his role overall, but the inconsistency from Kelly does not have me confident anyway, so lower from him. Joe, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to turn here, Tom, to the matchup between North Carolina and San Diego State. Now, this is really a match of styles here. San Diego State loves to slow down the game. They're going to force North Carolina to try to be explosive, but I don't think they're going to be able to. We know North Carolina loves to play that high-tempo game offensively, but I think San Diego State's really going to slow them down in this game, make them grind them out, play at a slower pace than they're used to. So because of that, I do think think San Diego State has every ability to pull off the win in this game with this defense really locking down. I'm going to look here for North Carolina's RJ Davis to go lower than his point total. Now that number coming in at 16.5, and it's just too high for me. I know he's ACC Player of the Year, and he will have the weight of this team on his shoulders today, but San Diego State is going to be able to contain him in this one. Davis is averaging 22.1 points per game over his last eight, hitting 45.1% from deep. But again, he's not going to have those clean looks from deep. Look for San Diego State to be in his face and not give him the room out there on the court to be able to shoot that ball nicely. Now, the last time he hit the hardwood versus Duke, he was only able to put up 8 points. He went 0 from 3 from deep, and I'm expecting that style of game out here. We did see him hit those 23 points in the game prior, but the game prior to that, Notre Dame did hold him to 13. So I'll take RJ Davis here of North Carolina lower than 16.5 points. And when I look at San Diego State, there's a couple of players I think you can look at for the rebounds and assists. But I'm going to look here at Miles Byrd. I'm going to take him lower than the 12.5 points. I really do think he's going to be feeding that ball out there to Nick Boyd. He'll get his assists. He'll get his rebounds. But I think those points are going to be hard to come by. On the season, averaging 12.6 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.8 assists. But when we look at him over his last 10 games, those numbers have dropped dramatically, only averaging 10 points per game. He put up 5 versus Boise State, only 8 versus Nevada. I think Miles Byrd is pivotal in this game for the assists and the rebounds, but that point number is just too high. So give me Miles Byrd lower than 12.5 points, RJ Davis lower than 16.5 points for a 3-time multiplier here on Sports Millions.
We have plenty of college basketball this week, so make sure to stay tuned.
Enjoy Sport Millions Pick'ems, but hey, making picks yourself? Well, Sports Millions has you covered. Head on over to Sports Millions Blitz'em right now and let the computer do the work. Go to sportsmillions.com/blitz'em to be able to win a big...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here. It is Game Time Decisions on a Tuesday night. It is almost tip time in Dayton. To help us out, it is Coach James Young, JY. Fantastic to have you here. Let's get right to it. People are trying to figure out what is the move for Alabama State, St. Francis of PA, a SWAC team booked as a 3.5-point favorite against the champions out of the NEC.
This is where sometimes as a coach, you do have to look at analytics and start looking at what teams do well versus what they don't do well. It's very simple. An Alabama State team that likes to push the pace, right? They want to get up and down the floor. But they need turnovers to do so. So a team that's 91st in the country in forcing turnovers versus a team that's 321st in turnovers. A team that also Alabama State protects the ball. Fifth in turnovers versus a team that does not turn you over 232nd. So it's a one way in regards to how Alabama State wants to play. But then when you talk about turnovers, Kev, to me it's about steals. Live ball turnovers going the other way. 76th in the country in steals versus a team that's 355th in regards to giving it away to steals. Alabama State -3.5 versus St. Francis.
All right, so you have coach's side there. For me, I'm on DeMar Kelly, 11-plus points. Nice and simple bounce-back spot. Did not close it strong against Central Connecticut despite the victory. In that game, he had been very consistent, though, in the build-up to the NEC tournament. 9 consecutive games, 10 of the 11 before his final 2 fell under this mark. Give me DeMar Kelly of St. Francis of PA. JY, the game, though, that everybody will be waiting for is North Carolina, San Diego State. There has been some line movement with this one, settling, though, largely at 4.5. Some looks like additional bets coming in on the under, 141.5. We're seeing now, how do you break down this matchup?
Honestly, Kevin, this is just a complete contrasting styles, right? When you look at a team like North Carolina that wants to get up and down the floor, 40th in average possessing length, with San Diego State being 342nd in defense. So to me, it's about who plays what game. But the thing to me that I found interesting in digging into this game is UNC's adjusted defensive efficiency is 53rd. It's secretly not as bad as people think, even though they get games up and down. And San Diego State does want to push it a little bit because their average length of possession is in the middle of the pack, about 18 seconds. So to me, I look at Carolina minus a 4.5. Also, I keep thinking about, they're not going to the Final Four, so I don't want people to think this. Remember VCU in 2011 when everybody was all mad that they shouldn't have got in the tournament and Shaka's team made that one run? I'm not saying they wouldn't make a run. But if you got any kind of pride here in North Carolina, you got to get this win because a lot of people, including both me and Kevin, well, maybe more me less than Kevin, don't think you deserve to be here. I think they take advantage of it. Give me Carolina minus a 4.5.
So I will say I have to be one of very few people who have opted to defend North Carolina being in this tournament and betting San Diego State. I think I think so many people, JY, tonight will bet San Diego State because UNC doesn't deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. I just, again, there isn't really a metric that tells me that's true. I know people are going to say quad one. Okay, but that quad one record would then impact your strength of record, strength of resume, not the predictive metrics, right? The strength of record that has Gonzaga, right, as the 39th team in strength of record. That people said that's why they are on the 8 line. Gonzaga's 39th. You want to take a wild guess who's 38th? It's North Carolina. I'm just, again, I'm not a UNC fan. I'm on San Diego State. I don't think this is the travesty that everybody else does, that UNC is here. I think San Diego State's pace will make it so hard for North Carolina to be comfortable in this basketball game. And I think 5.5, which is where I bet it at, could be the difference. I won't be stunned. I know people will find this silly. I don't care. I'd love to see both Coach and I win tonight. Why not? You know, I know I told people to take the 4.5, so I guess I shouldn't say that. But, one, two, three, it could matter. It can matter when San Diego State plays things as close to the vest as they do, limiting those possessions. Now, JY, I said that I would ask everyone some questions tonight, region-specific. So I'm going to stick with the ACC. I'm going to stick with the East region, which is, of course, sees Duke booked as the favorites at minus 140. My question, though, is an attempt to put this entire region into perspective. My question, do they even need Cooper Flagg to cash that minus 140 number? I know we are expecting him to play in potentially the 116 game. But if I said, Coach, Cooper Flagg is out until the Final Four, would we see a Cooper Flagg game in the Final Four?
I would say no, but I would say if they can get to the Elite Eight. Because, Kevin, I'm of the thought process that this top half of the draw to the East is so easy for them. Mississippi State overachieved. Baylor tremendously underachieved. Kevin, we could see in the round of 32, Liberty versus Akron. That's not out of the realm of possibility at all. I don't think Oregon is worthy of a 5 seed. And you know and I know what Caleb Love can and can't do to a team. So to me, I think they can get to an Elite Eight. I don't think they'll be able to get past an Alabama in the Elite Eight. I would say this, maybe past Wisconsin. But if I think Alabama's going to Elite Eight, then no. But I think the interesting thing is I heard you talking during the break. Alabama, St. Mary's, if St. Mary's gets by Vanderbilt, and I think they do, it's such a tricky spot for Alabama, because this team, kind of like a Houston, kind of like a St. John's, they get you to play their pace. And they will slow that game down, and you will see Alabama maybe start to freak out a little bit when they can't get up and down the floor if they can't dictate the pace.
Yeah, I think it would be a really, really fun matchup to break down. The thing with Alabama, and if we do get that 2-7 game, why I likely would lean that direction. In order to beat Bama, St. Mary's probably has to score 80. The fewest points scored by a team this season to beat Alabama, Ole Miss won against this team. Incredible win, by the way. 74-64 at Bama. Now, look, they shot 5 of 20 from 3. Filon only played 15 minutes and was 0 of 8. But, babe, it is such an uncomfortable thing. I don't know if... But St. Mary's has all these reps against Gonzaga. And Gonzaga is, honestly, a lesser version of Bama, I would argue. I would. Now, that's still a great basketball team. St. Mary's has those reps. Coming up, Alabama State. Coach going to lay the number. St. Francis of PA. I'm on DeMar Kelly for 11-plus points. Let's talk some coaches with Coach next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, if somebody could pipe this in to DeMar Kelly, got it out of your system? Now let's take a deep breath and let's figure it out. First three... from the top of the key, I think a wide right air ball, if my eyes didn't deceive me. I'm not sure.
Truly.
Yeah, but Turley. Wide right, all air? Whoa.
Hey.
Hold on.
A little different backdrop here.
Joe, I want to first, though, just say, let people know but the conversation that you had today with former Iowa coach on the network, Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah, so I had a really good conversation with Coach McCaffrey about a myriad of things. And the number one thing I wanted to know, and I think at 66, 67 years old, what does he want to do? Was this just kind of a ride off into the sunset? And what I found, Kevin, was someone that has a ton of fire left, a guy that is steadfast in his belief that he wants to coach next year, a guy that's taken four teams to the NCAA tournament, and a guy that's ready, folks, built programs. And the thing I looked at, particularly in Iowa, I know, you know, Luka Garza was a four-star recruit, but the Murray twins were like 368 and 369. He overachieves with teams. Now, and the other thing I got out of Coach is, you see, like, the game he went out on, right? Double tech thrown out. There was a time a couple of years ago where he was staring down the referee for the entirety of a media timeout, which is about 2.5 minutes. What I found is a guy that's humble. I found the guy that believes in character and building things the right way. If I am a coach, and I know that DeVries got Indiana, right, which is a great hire, a grinder. If I'm a high-level program that has not won in a while or needs a reset to rebuild this program, I'm calling Fran McCaffrey because he's got a track record of building up teams, and I think if he ever got the chance to play, the coach of the team, remember, Iowa's NIL money was near the bottom or the bottom of the Big Ten. The bottom. If he is able to build the program and you give him NIL money that is on par with the top of the league, I think Fran McCaffrey's got one more hit in him, and I think he's going to do a hell of a job wherever he goes.
I know Iona seemingly already has their guy. Fran McCaffrey would be welcome in New Rochelle. That's a brand of basketball I can get behind. For the Moneyline listeners, they know exactly what I'm talking about. JY, on the topic of coaches, mentioned there's, you know, kind of a question per region. West region, Florida's the favorite. And, you know, Florida is playing so well right now. Golden's a young coach, man. You know, he's 6 years into his high-level career here. Only his third season, I believe it is now, with the Gators. My question, JY, and I know this is going to be a tough one for you, so I almost apologize, but I don't. Who is the best coach, you knew it was coming, in the West region?
Oof. Oh. I mean, you could, Kevin, like, you could go with, like, 4, 5, 6 different guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. You can make a case for Golden's had the best year, right? But you can go up and down the line. You could look at, you know, what Kevin Willis done for a long time. You could look at Bill Self. You could look at Cal. But for what he's done and all these stops, I think it's Patino. He's won everywhere he's gone. He's got, what, this is his 5th or 6th team I think he's gotten to the tournament, right? This could be the 4th different team he's taken to the Final Four. Remember, he took Providence, obviously, Kentucky, Louisville. And it's just amazing to me. I still remember going to watch St. John's at versus Seton Hall last year at UBS. And they got beat up. And Patino, if you remember, he ripped his team. And I'm like, this guy's done, man. Get this guy up out of here. This guy's past his prime. And 1 year later, he's got a team that absolutely is a resemblance of himself. The concern is the ability to make threes. But like I've said before, two teams in the last 25 years have shot under 33% from three and made the Final Four. Rick Pitino's Louisville team and Rick Pitino's Louisville team.
I will say, I went through, so since 2000, Tom Izzo won the national championship in just his 5th year at Michigan State. Since then, only one national championship was won, or only one coach won his first national championship while being in not their 13th season or later, right? Meaning they had at least 12 years already under their belt. And that was Kevin Ollie in year number 2 at UConn. Now, one, a crazy run. 2, they should have fired Calipari a decade ago. Every single historical thing makes me not stand that Kentucky. My goodness, did they win way less championships than they should have? They obviously, though, had won the title 2 years ago, so UConn had a... Kevin Ollie would feel a little bit more similar to Shire in terms of program inheritance. Golden's comp would be Izzo. While lofty, that's where we are. If he's able to get this done, you know, the typical way to win a national championship is to have about 15 years under your belt before you're able to cut those nets down. Our coach, though, James Young, helping us out here, get set for some big games tonight. JY, we appreciate it as always.
My man, see you later in the week.
Yes, sir. All right, we'll be right back here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, live right now, it's an 8-0 run for St. Francis. On my TV, you at home may be a little bit ahead, which is fine. We don't want to be throwing you any spoilers for this game right here. I see it 14-10 with about 13 minutes left on the clock in this game. Our guy DeMar Kelly is on the board with a point, but it's actually Juan Cranford Jr. right now lighting it up from beyond the arc. So, and he was at, I believe, 11.5, so 12-plus if you were playing it in this game there. Off to a nice little start for St. Francis. We will, of course, keep our eye on this game. We are going to bring in some of the NFL offseason conversations with Mike Blewett, as we have been doing on Tuesdays. We'll talk to Mike a little bit about the bracket as well. I just want to make a quick pit stop over in the NBA. No Steph Curry tonight for the Warriors. They are now hoping what happened to them last night can happen for them tonight. In the end result, by the way, we did discuss it on the show, of course, was, man, it doesn't really look like Denver's going to play their guys. Because Christian Brown was probable. They had the questionable tag on Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic. Gordon played, Murray and Jokic sat, and the 38 points that you got from Aaron Gordon, I think a career high, led to a Denver Nuggets upset on a closing number of 12.5, 13.5. But my bigger takeaway is, here's the thing with Golden State. This team is going to, it feels like, give me no sample size of high-level matchups post-Jimmy trade, or at least not enough for me to sink my teeth into. Talked about it. They went to Milwaukee. No Giannis. They went to the Knicks. No Cat. They host the Knicks. No Brunson. They host the Nuggets. No Jokic. No Murray. Now tonight they host Milwaukee. No Steph. So if they lose, it's throw it out the window again, kind of. Right? This team will go to Memphis, go to LA, host Denver, host Houston. That's what you're going to have to rely on. But here's the thing, that four-game run. How many games you get full effort? How many games does your opponent give you full effort? The list is dwindling. I will also say for the Lakers last night, what should have been a great evening standings-wise ended up being a whole bunch of nothing. Memphis lost to Sacramento, but Golden State allowing Denver to win that game did not help. Because now Denver is a little bit more rested going into that game and didn't have to pay a price for it. And on top of that, the Rockets completely no-showed a home game against the Sixers, trailed by 25 points and an improbable late comeback in the final 15 seconds of this game saw Houston send it to overtime and win. The Lakers today could have been a 2 seed. Instead, they're sitting 4, which would then mean a round 2 matchup with the clear-cut favorites in this conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I will say, if the season ended today, the 3-6 being Denver Golden State feels tough for both of those teams, knowing that there is not a pathway for both to advance to round number 2. Certainly going to be very important to keep our eyes on the race out there in the Western Conference. I will tell you, tonight's NBA board, it's not calling my name. It's not. It's March. I mean, I don't think tonight's NBA board is calling the NBA's name. There's 4 games. Stars are sitting. I mean, who's even playing on Cleveland tonight? 2.5-point favorite against the Clippers. Evan Mobley, game time decision. You can kind of get that sense that the NBA is waiting for the postseason to start. And I think a lot of the fans share that sentiment that you are getting right now off of the players. 17-12 lead right now for St. Francis of PA. Live totals 140.5. St. Francis has slipped to a slight minus 122. Moneyline favorite. We're going to take a break. When we get back here, we will talk some brackets with Blewett, but National Football League. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, back. Who's drafting first overall? The QB carousel. Does Aaron Rodgers even want a seat on it? We'll talk about it all next.